Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. In our previous shir, the Mishnah had identified the various individuals who are considered related to each other and therefore cannot say testimony one on behalf of the other. Begins the Gemara Ashkhan of Aslabanim. We learned yesterday Psukim that teach us how fathers cannot say testimony about their sons, or bottom lovers, nor how sons could say testimony about the father. The Koshkeng of Aslahadadi, and certainly brothers, people of the same generation, cannot say testimony. But ask the Gemara, how do we know first cousins? How do we know that first cousins cannot say testimony? Imkain answers the Gemara, Imkain lich the crop, if the limitation would specifically fathers and uncles to nephews, Imkain lich the crop, the pasuk should have said, La yumsa aves aben, my bonim. Why did the Torah use the word bonim? The feel bonim lahadadim, even cousins may not say testimony one for the other. Ask the Gemara, Ashkan bonim lahadadi. So that teaches us that cousins, first cousins, cannot say testimony one about the other. However, bonim la'alma minayin, ask the Gemara, how do we know that cousins cannot say a testimony together? Answers the Gemara, amar rabbi b'chama sarhu. It's based on a logic. Ketanya, as the Brisa says, Eina Edim Nasim Zomimim, Edim don't become Edim Zomimim, Achi Yizum Shneim, until both Edim, as we've been discussing, the Halachas of Edim Zomimim, and one of the Halachas of Edim Zomimim is that you don't become Edim Zomimim unless both Edim of the pair become Edim Zomimim. Now, says the Gemara, V'sakadatach bona al oilim k'shayrim, if we're going to say that people who are relatives could say Eidus together, Nimtza Eidzaimim, what essentially is going to happen, Nimtza Eidzaimim, Nereb Eidus Achiv, that you can't become Eidzaimim unless your peer is also an Eidzaimim. And if your peer is your relative, it turns out that you became you get punished because of your relative. And we just said that relatives cannot be the reason that people get punished. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava. So Rava asked the question, Utameich, according to your line of reasoning, Hadetnan, when we learned Masechta Baba Basra, about Chazaka, that if somebody is on a property for 3 years, uncontested, and then somebody says that, that serves as a good proof that he is the owner of that property. So the Gemara over there discusses the case of how we could of Eid Zomimim and regarding Chazaka. The Mishnah speaks about Shloisha Achim. You have three brothers that came to say testimony that somebody has been on a property, and each one of the brothers, of course the brothers, as we're learning, are not coming together to say testimony. Brothers cannot come together to say any testimony. So what happened here was that each brother spoke about a different year, and there's a different ve'echad and a different individual mitzarf imam. For each year of those 3 years, there was one brother who said testimony. And besides the one brother who said testimony, there's an outside who says. And that's how we have the 3 years. And taught us the Mishnah, that's considered like the testimony of 3 years. But they combine for as one edus for hazama. And that means if one of the brothers became Muslim, there's no kasha zomim because 1 year alone doesn't give ownership to the person who claims to have ownership of the property. Only if all three brothers with their peer become Edom Zomim. So now we have a situation where this person, through these Edom, is going to have ownership of this property. And now when they turn out to be Edom Zomim, so as the Torah says, what is the punishment of Edom Zomim? Vasisim loikash zomim lasis lachiv. So the three of them will have to pay a third each. Each pair of Edus will have to pay a third for what they wanted to do. Nimtza. But how did this happen? Says the Gemara. It only happened because Nimtza Eid Zomim, Mishal Mammon, Beidus Achiv. The only reason they're going to become Edom Zomim is that they all had to become together Edom Zomim. And if they all have to become Edom Zomim, then one Eid Zomim became Eid Zomim just because of his brother. And we're learning now that you can't become, the Gemara just set forth a Svara that you don't become Eid Zomim because of your brother. Ella, what's the reason that this argument is not a valid argument? Because Hazama Ma'almakasi, when the Hazama is not really because of my peer, the Hazama is based on that the people came and said, Imanu Hayisim, Hachanami. So back to our Gemara, when two relatives are saying Eidus together, the reason that they should not, my peer is not the one that's making me an Eid Zomim. Hazomim Al-Makasi, it's somebody else who's making me into Eid Zomim. Being that's the case, so that can't be the reason where I can't say testimony together with a relative. So the Gemara comes back to where we started. Where do we know that the halach is that two relatives cannot say Eidus together? Moreover, Daruch Ner says the Gemara could have asked a different question. We've discussed that you could technically have three people saying Eidus. Actually, the Torah says, Apishnaim Mishloisha Eidim Yokim Dover. So what would be the case if three people came to say testimony and two are relatives, and the third one is not. And then they become Eid Zomim. So the svara that the Gemara just gave, that we became Eid Zomim because of my relative, is not relevant in that case. Yet the halach is that they're Eid Zomim. So we're not becoming Eid Zomim because of our relative, even though we're saying testimony together with a relative. So we see, says Daruch Lina says, this is another question that the Gemara could have asked here, and says the Daruch Lina, from here we see that that isn't the consideration that is why relatives cannot say Eidus together. Says the Gemara, so we're back to where we started. How do we know that relatives cannot say Eidus together? Says the Gemara, Imkein Licht of Krop. If that was the case, the pasuk should have said uben lo yomis al aves. It should have said it uben loshin yachid inami. The Torah should have said vehem. The Torah already spoke about the relative, the word bonim vehem lo yomis al aves maya bonim. Why did the Torah add the word bonim? To teach us afilu bonim alma. Relatives can never combine to say Eidus. Ask the Gemara further. Ashkechan Kroiveyav. So this is a proof that relatives from a paternal side are disqualified from saying Eidus together. But ask the Gemara Kroiveyav Menolam. How do we know the relatives, maternal relatives, have the same halacha? Answers the Gemara Amakra, Avos Trei Zimni. The Pasuk says the word Avos twice. So one becomes superfluous. So we have a lima that we have in the Torah, that when the Torah tells us psukim and they're not needed for what they ostensibly say. We apply it imenin linyan zet to ne linyan acher. So that's what happens here also. Im ein inyan lekrei ve'av. If it's not here to teach us that paternal relatives are disqualified, it must be tenei inyan lekrei ve'aim. It's here to teach us that relatives from the mother's side are also considered relatives. The Rama, quoting the Rambam, says that the halacha, that maternal relatives are disqualified, is only midrabanim. The Shach disagrees, and he says that relatives from the mother's side are certainly also considered disqualified midraisa. What would be the halacha? What's the nafkamina? The halacha will be if somebody got married, and we know that essential to the validity of a kedushin are the edim, and it turns out that they're related from the mother's side, maternal relatives. If we follow the opinion of the Rama that they're only pasul midrabanan, then the halacha ought to be that these people, then the halacha ought to be that midaraisa, they're really married, and a get would be required. According to the Shach, there's no kedushin here at all. And since there's no kedusha at all, there would be no need for a get. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that even though the Rama is concerned, that's only in a situation where we could get a get, as we just identified. But if there's a situation where if we won't declare this marriage, an invalid marriage, this woman will remain in aguna, and we won't, because of the disqualification of the edim. He says, even the Rama would agree that we have nothing to worry about. The basis of this machlokes is when we have a limud, as we just had it in the Gemara, to prove something, but it's not explicit in the Torah. What status does it have? Does it have a status of a deraisa, or does it have a status midrabanan? There are those achroinim that want to differentiate how you're related from your mother's side, and that's when they determine if it's an issa deraisa or if the marriage is issa deraisa or issa derabanan. Ask the Gemara, Ashkechan, but now ask the Gemara a new question. Ashkechan l'chayva. What we know is that relatives cannot speak about to say. To aid this, that will make a person guilty. How do we know that they're disqualified even for that purpose? Amakra, again, says the Pasuk, Yumsu, Yumsu, Trei Zimni. The Torah says the word Yumsu twice. Lo Yumsu, Ovis, Abonim. And says the Gemara, Emein Inyan L'Chayva, I don't know that, I don't need the Pasuk to teach us only for a guilty verdict. Tenei in Yulushchus, I use it for that person. So I saw that I understand just the opposite. I could understand why a relative cannot say testimony for Schus, because since he's my relative, since this individual is my relative, I'm going to be careful. I want to see him exonerated. But L'chayva, why should I be puzzled? The whole concern of edus of relatives is that I may not say the truth. But here I'm saying l'chayva. Isn't that a proof that I am saying the truth? So the Verker Rebbe says the pasuk when it speaks about edus says v'omdu shnei anoshim, a person who says edus anoshim has to be a mensch. An individual who's prepared to say chayva, an individual who's prepared to say negative about a relative is not a mensch, and that's why he can't be considered an aid. Ashkam din nefashis, continues the Gemara. So we've learned psukim about din nefashis, but ask the Gemara b'din mamonis manolam. How do we know that for financial matters relatives are also possible? Answers the Gemara amakra. Mishpat echad yilachem. All cases should be treated the same way. Dine nefashis, mishpat hashav lechem, dine nefashis, and dine mamnas should be treated the same way. So what happens now in the Gemara is that the Gemara begins to analyze who are considered relatives, and based on that, to determine who is and who isn't qualified to say Eidus. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Achi Abba, that means my father's brother, my uncle, Layard Li, he may not say testimony on my behalf, who he himself, Ubenoi, his son, V'chasonoi, and his son-in-law. And Af Ani, and so I cannot say testimony, Loy Ani, not I, Ubenai, nor my son, nor my son-in-law could say testimony on behalf of my uncle. Ask the Gemara, Bamai, why is that the halacha? Let's, a very important element in understanding the Gemara as we go further, is that we speak about generations. So my uncle is the first generation, I am the second generation, and my children are the third generation. So if Rav just said that my children cannot testify about my uncle, it becomes a third generation. It's a third generation saying testimony about the first generation. And ask the Gemara, Vanan, Sheni B'Sheni B'Tanan. A Mishnah spoke about two people from the second generation, which we spoke about earlier, first cousins saying testimony. Vanan, Sheni B'Sheni Tanan. And Sheni Barishan Tanan, which is me to my uncle. However, asked the Gemara, Shlishi Barishan, a third generation and a first generation, like Tanan. So where does Rav, asked the Gemara, come to say that a third generation cannot say testimony regarding a first generation? Says the Gemara, Mai Chasnoi, the Kanivam Misnison, what did the Mishnah mean when it said Chasnoi? It meant Chasnoi Beroi. It means my son-in-law. And that's where the Mishnah indeed is saying the third generation cannot say testimony in the first generation. Ask the Gemara that if the Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha of Shlishi Barishin, and that's why when it says Chasnoi, it means my son's son-in-law, why did the Mishnah say it in a simpler way? V'lisni ben benoi, it should have said my son's son, which would be, again, an example of Shlishi Barishin. Answers the Gemara, because Milsa Agavurcha Kamashmalan. The Mishnah wanted to tell us another halacha. The Baal Ke'ishtai, my son's son-in-law, is not a blood relative. He's just my granddaughter's husband. And the Mishnah is teaching us that my granddaughter's husband has the same halacha as a grandson. But ask the Gemara that if we're learning now that even third generation relatives are disqualified, ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Shmoina Ovis, there are eight principal relations that include Shein Esther of Arba, that include 24. The eight principal categories are brother, paternal uncle, maternal uncle, sister's husbands, paternal aunt's husband, maternal aunt's husband, stepfather and father-in-law, and then the Mishnah said sons and son-in-laws of all of these relatives are also disqualified. That brings another 16 for a total of 24. But we see he doesn't include it to a third generation. Answers the Gemara. When the Mishnah spoke about a son-in-law, it spoke about the principal son-in-law. Why did he call his son son-in-law? Says the Gemara, because even though he's technically a second generation, but he has a weakness in the relationship. And that is because he's not a blood relative. He's only married to my daughter. And that's why he's considered like he's a generation further. Kivin, the Ma'alma Asi, Bedar Ach Kadami, he's treated like a third generation. Ihachi. So if we're saying that a son-in-law is considered one step removed, given that he's not a blood relative, and that's why, even though he's my son-in-law, he's treated like a shlishi. And when we're learning that he can't say Edus for the people mentioned in the Mishnah, that means it's a situation of a shlishi, a third generation, saying testimony b'sheni by the second generation. V'Rav asked the Gemara, Rav actually holds Achshar shlishi b'sheni. Rav holds that level of relation is not disqualified. Says the Gemara, Ela Rav Damakribaloza. Says the Gemara, when Rav is telling us his halacha about a shlishi berishin, he's basing it on what Rabbi Loza taught us. The Tanya, Rabbi Loza Omer, Shem Sha'achi Abba, just like my father's brother, my uncle, Loyoid Li, may not say testimony concerning me, who he himself, Ibnoi V'chasnoi, and his son and his son-in-law, may Kach Ben Achi Abba, so too my father's brother's son can't say testimony for me. My father's brother's son is my first cousin. Kach ben achi abba loyoy li. Not just, he may not say testimony on my behalf. Even he, ubenoy v'chosnoy. So we see that that's already a third level, and they can't say testimony. Ask the Gemara, but the case that we just learned, that my cousin's son, my first cousin's son or son-in-law saying testimony about me, is a shlishi b'sheni. They're third generation and I'm second generation. And we just learned v'akati havelei shlishi b'sheni, and we just learned of Rav Achshar shlishi b'sheni. Rav actually holds that that is not considered a disqualification. Answers the Gemara. Rav savalei kavasei b'chada. Rav agrees with Rav Loza regarding shlishi b'rishin, that he does agree apologically b'chada, but he doesn't agree about shlishi b'sheni. Ask him, my time of the Rav, where does Rav take his psak from? Says the Imam, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, lo yumso ovis abonim, ubonim. And then the Torah said the word ubonim. From here, says Rav, the Rabbis, daracher, it comes to teach us the third generation. The Rabbi Lazar, where does he take that not only is a third generation disqualified for a Rishon, but he holds that a third generation is even disqualified for a Sheni? Answers the Gemara, because Rabbi Loza holds, when the Pasuk says, Al Bonim Am Rachmana, what the Torah means to say with that is, Am Rachmana, Pasuli the Ovis, Shadi Abonim. Any disqualification that the father has extends to his children. So that's why if the second generation is Asur, and now this goes further to the third generation. Amar Rav Nachman, Achi Chamoisi, my mother-in-law's brother, Loyoy Loy, can't say testimony about me. Ben Achi Chamoisi, my mother-in-law's brother's son, my wife's first cousin, Loyoy Loy, may not say testimony concerning me. Ben Achois Chamoisi, my mother-in-law's sister's son. Again, another example of my wife's first cousin, Layoid Li. V'tana Tuna, and the Tana of our Mishnah has also said, Bala Choysoi, or Bala Chois Aviv, his sister's husband, his father's sister's husband, or Bala Chois Imai, his mother's sister's husband, Hain Ubnechasneim, may not say testimony. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the halacha of Nachman just taught us is really in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, another halacha. Kavinan be'ula. When we were in the yeshiva of Ula Ibailon, the following question was asked. Achi Cham of Ma. What is the halacha regarding my father-in-law's brother? Ben Achi Cham of Ma. What's the halacha regarding my father-in-law's brother's son? Ben Achois Cham of Mahu. What is the halacha regarding my father-in-law's sister's son? Amalon Tinesuan, says the Gemara, isn't that explicitly, that is explicitly taught in the Mishnah? Achiv, my brother, Achi Achi Aviv, Achi Imai, Haim of Nesayim. My brother, my father's brother, my mother's brother, all of them are considered, and they and their sons and the son-in-laws are all disqualified. Says the Gemara of Ikla Mizmin Gvili. Rav Ikla came to a location in order to buy parchment. And they asked him, Mashia Odom Be'eshes Chargai. Could somebody say testimony regarding his stepson's wife? And as the Mefarshim explain, what is the Din Torah where somebody is being asked to say testimony about his son-in-law, his stepson's wife? They're having question regarding assets. And the Mefarshim explain, as we know, we've learned many times, there are two types of assets that a woman could bring into a marriage. Nechsi Malug and Nechsi Tzoyim Bazel. Nechsi Tzoyim Bazel really are given to the husband, just the wife is entitled to get back the value when the marriage terminates, if she outlives the husband. Nechsi Malug are hers, and the husband gets the payers. And there's a discussion regarding what type of assets are we talking about. Because the issue is because of my stepson and his wife. Says the Gemara, Besur Masni Bal Kishtai. In Surah they said, a husband and wife are treated the same. But Vadisa Ami Isha Kabbalah. And as the Mefarshim point out, they're really saying the same thing, just saying it in different ways. Damar Rav Huna, Damar Rav Nachman, Menayin Sheish Kabbalah, from where in Halacha do we see that the wife and the husband are treated as the same? The Ksiv Ervas Achi Avichav Loisigala, Elishta Loisikrav Tadoschahi. The Torah speaks about not having relations with your father's brother's wife, Elishta Loisikrav Tadoschahi. But now the question is, she's not your wife, she's not your aunt, she's your uncle's wife. For like Ashes did Daidahu. So why is we considering her, why is the Torah called her Daidoscha? From here we see Mechlal, the Isha Kabbalah. Your uncle's wife is equivalent to your uncle. We learned further in the Mishnah, Ubal Imai, his mother's husband, Hu Ubnoi Vachasnai. Benoi asked the Gemara, your mother's husband's son is the same as your brother, Hainu Achiv. Isn't that the brother? Because the assuming that we have the same brother. Says the Gemara, with the Mishnah speaking about a case, the Mishnah speaking about a brother's brother. That means your stepfather's son from another woman. Says the Gemara. However, Rav Chisda held, Ach Shebachia Ach. He says, your stepbrother is not a problem. So they asked him, didn't you hear that Rabbi Yirmiyah held that a brother's brother, which means your stepfather's son from another woman, he just said, is disqualified? So said to them, L'shmirli, what it means, L'shmirli, I don't agree that they're disqualified. Says the Gemara, Yehachi, if Rabbi Chisda says that is what Rabbi Yirmiyah says is incorrect, so then what is the case of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, it means a brother. And that's why he's disqualified, even though he's only a half-brother. So the question is, a brother was already mentioned. Why is it needed to be mentioned again? Answers the Gemara, Tani Achim and Av, Tani Achim and Aim, the Mishnah is teaching us two examples of brothers. Rav Chisda, Avi Chassan, the father of the Chassan, Avi Kala, which we know means Mukhatanim. The Loch is Me'idim Zalzeh, can be Edim regarding each other. Why? Because the relation of Mukhatanim, my son's father-in-law, or my daughter's father-in-law, the halacha looks at them is they're only achle l'doni. It's only like the cover of a barrel. The cover of the barrel is a cover but it doesn't make them that close that we should become posel. As we spoke about in our previous year, there are rishonim that suggest that what we're learning here is regarding Hilchus Edom. As far as Hilchus Edom are concerned, they can be Edom for each other. But as far as Dayanim, that they can't be Dayanim, because a Dayan can only be a Dayan if they're not friends. And ostensibly, Mechutanim have this sort of a relationship that they should be considered friendly enough, hopefully, that they should be considered disqualified to say Eidus about each other. I saw a Vart that the Gemara says that the relationship of what we just said, Mechutanim, is Ka'uch L'Ladari. It's like the cover of a cup, of a pot. Why is this the example that's used? Because the Gemara often says, Kederi de Beishutfi, when you have a pot that is being cooked by two people, like Kariri V'loi Chamimi, it's not too hot and it's not too cold. Meaning, too many chefs spoil the broth. And what's being taught here is as well, if you have two Mechutanim that try to get involved with each other, that is not healthy for the marriage of the children. It's like Kader de Beis Shutfi, like Kariri V'loi Chamimi. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bachana, Meir Adam L'Ishtei Rusa. A person could say testimony regarding his wife who's only a Rusa. As we've discussed numerous times, there are two stages in a Jewish marriage. There's the Erisin and the Nesuin. So as far as the halach is concerned, a woman who is my Arusa is my wife, but she's only my wife in the sense that she becomes an Eishes Ish with many halachas of the Eishes Ish, but we don't live together. So now the question is, can a chassan say testimony about his Arusa? On one hand, they considered married. On the other hand, they're really not married. So says Rabbi Babachano, Meir Adam Lishta Arusa. A person could say testimony about his wife who's his Arusa. To which Ravina says, Loya Marin El Lafukimina. If he's going to deprive her of money, saying testimony that will make her lose money, so there we believe he's saying the truth. However, Avala Yuli, if the purpose of his testimony is to help her get money, loy mehemen. And the reason is quite obvious, because ultimately the money that she's going to get is money that's going to come to him, because they're going to be married. And therefore, he can't say testimony. But says the Gemara, v'lohi, what we just learned is actually not correct. Loishna lafuki v'loishna layuli. It makes no difference if the purpose of his testimony is that she will be rewarded money or she will lose money. He can't say testimony. The halach is loy mehemen. So the Gemara says, my daitach, what is the reason for what you said? Kramer of Chiv Shmei De'ula, Ishta Arusa, the wife who's an Arusa, loy einen. We know that the halach is that when somebody loses a close relative, a wife obviously included in that list, the halach is that he's an einen. And even though a kohen is normally not allowed to be metama to a relative, for a close relative, he does. But says the Braisa that if they only had erisin, loy einen, there is no aninus, loy metamala. Normally a kohen may not become tamei, but he does become tamei by a close relative, by wife, for example, but not if she's an arusa, loy. And she too, can he loy enenis, loy metamala, she doesn't become tamei to him. So of course, the Rishonim asked the obvious question. A kayin is not allowed to become tamei. And therefore, the Rice is telling us who is considered a wife for whom he has to become tamei, and who is a wife that you don't become tamei for. But a woman, even if she's a kahenis, there is no Isser, there is no prohibition for her to become Tameh. So what does it mean when it says, Loi mitamala? So there are really two approaches in the Rishonim to ask, answer this question. One approach is there a mitzvah? When one is a close relative, there's actually a mitzvah to become Tameh. And here it's saying, Loi mitamala, there is no mitzvah to become Tameh. The other explanation given is that even women, there's certain times when they should avoid becoming Tameh. For example, it's before Pesach, and they're going to want to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So if there's a mitzvah to become Tameh, the mitzvah to become Tameh overrides the chiyuv to bring a Korban Pesach, and since it overrides the chiyuv to bring a Korban Pesach, they become Tameh. Here we're learning, that since they are not considered relatives, v'loy matamala, she shouldn't become Tameh, so she should be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Mesa, if she dies, any Yarsha, normally a husband is the Yarsha of his wife, but not of her Nerusa. Mesu, and when he dies, Kovik Subasa, that she is entitled to the Ksuba, but as we've learned, she's only entitled to the basic Ksuba, she's not entitled to the Tosfos Ksuba. So we see that as far as Orus and Arusa, in many aspects of the Halacha, they're not considered relatives. So they should not be considered relatives for Edus either, answers the Gemara. Regarding the Halachas, especially about Tumah, when is a husband, a Kohen husband, Metamah to his wife? B'she'eroi tala rachmana, when they reach the status of being she'eroi. And if it's only Erisin, akata lav shirahu, they're not considered she'eroi. Hocha, but when we speak about Edis, the determining factor in Edis is mishuma kruvidatuhu, because of their closeness. And Oris and Arusa, v'ha kruvidatuhu, are considered having this close relationship. She is an Eris, she is an Arusa, and therefore she cannot say testimony. He can't say testimony about her. So now the question that many Paiskim discuss is what's going to be the halacha in the world that we live. Erisin really takes place, Erisin and Nisun take place at the same time when they get actually married. The question is, what about an engaged couple? When we have an engaged couple, could the chassan say testimony regarding the kala? So the Gaz Ashri says that erisin means there was a kedushin, and since there was a kedushin, what the Gemara just said about a kruvidata is most appropriate. But in a case where there was no kedushin, the halach is he could say testimony. But here too, that Gaz Ashri suggests, as the Gemara said the Sfara a few moments ago, maybe he only could say testimony about extracting money from her, but to help her get money, which ultimately will be his because they're going to get married, he can't say testimony. And Ramah, in Chai Shemishmet Simen Lama Gimel Sif Tes, says, Shiduchim Ba'alma, if a couple is just engaged, Einam Poislam, that is not a reason to disqualify Edis. Umiyu, Right in rights alahor chetiska b'mamon, but says the Ramah, if the testimony that this man is saying is in order that the woman that he's engaged to should end up with a financial award, efshin and gay bedaver, they may be considered that close that they should be that it should be disqualified. The Gra seems not to accept that, and he explains that the Gemara says, when there erisin is a kruvidata, until then there's not. And the Michas Chinuch, the way the Michas Chinuch approaches this question, the Michas Chinuch says that we try to explain the halachas that we've been discussing about relatives, because of relatives and their relationship of what they're going to say and what they're not going to say. But the Michas Chinuch says that that's not the way to look at the halacha. that Torah says that relatives are not allowed to say Eidus. It's not necessarily connected to an issue of honesty. It's not a question of honesty. It's a question who is considered a relative and who is not considered a relative. And if we're learning now that if there wasn't Erison yet, they're not considered relatives, the fact that they're close, the fact that he may have motive is not a reason to disqualify him. We learned in the Mishnah, the chargoy levadoy, his stepson alone is disqualified. What does that mean? So says the Bryce, the Tana Rabbanan, chargoy levadoy, a stepson is disqualified from saying Eidus. Rav Yossi Omer Gisoy. Rav Yossi says his brother-in-law. V'tanya Idach. But that is another Braisa that says Gisoy Levadoy. His brother-in-law alone is disqualified. To which Rav Yehuda says Chargoy. Ask the Gemara, what do these statements mean to say? It says about my comma. Ilay Mahach comma. Chargoy Levadoy. Rav Yehuda says that his stepson alone is disqualified. And he says, V'hu adin l'gisoy. And the same halacha will apply to his brother-in-law. So, of course, Rashi asks a question. The Mishnah said that the brother-in-law's children are disqualified. How can we suggest differently? So he's saying that what he means to say here is his brother-in-law's son-in-law. V'as Rabbi Yossi l'meimer. Rabbi Yossi said, Gisa levadoi, v'hu adin l'chargoi. So according to this, they're both saying the same thing. Elamas nisen, diktani. But when our Mishnah say, Gisa hu b'noi v'chaisnoi, that the son, brother-in-law, and not only the brother-in-law, but the brother-in-law's son and son-in-law are disqualified, according to this understanding, mani, which Tana will be the Tana of our Mishnah? Loi Rabbi Yehuda v'loi Rabbi Yossi. Because our Mishnah says that they are disqualified, and they're saying that they're not disqualified. Says the Mar Hachikomer. This is what to be said. Chargoy levadoy, only by his stepson do we have this halacha. Avol gisay hu b'noy v'chasnoy. Vaser Rabbi Yossi l'meima, gisay levadoy, avol chargoy hu b'noy v'chasnoy. When we speak about a stepson, it's not just a stepson, it's a son and son-in-law as well. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, we go back to a braisa that we quoted at the beginning of the shir. El hada tani Rav Chiya. At the beginning of the shir, we learned the opinion of Rav Chiya's braisa that spoke about Shmoina Evesha and Esther of Abba. If we're going to exclude whether the son-in-law, the stepson, or the son-in-law's children, it's like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, El hada kamer. This is the way to understand the opinion of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef. Chargoy levadoy, a stepson alone, av gisay hu b'noy v'chasanoy. V'as Rav Yossi l'meimer, gisay levad v'koshkei chargoy, masnisin Rav Yehuda. So our Mishnah will be following the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and Braisa will be following the opinion of Rav Yossi. I'm Rav Yehuda M'Shmuel. The halacha is like Rav Yossi. He says the Gemara, and the Gemara is assuming that means only relatives that could be my yorshim. Ask the Gemara, Hahim Matnosa, there was a shtar matana, davachsimalei trei gisei, two brother-in-laws were signed on this document. So, of course, we know that a document that's signed by two relatives is disqualified. And says the Gemara, Savar Rabbi Yosef Lachshira, Rabbi Yosef wanted to say it's a good document. Dom Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Yosef. And the reason that only relatives that could be Yarshim are disqualified, two brother-in-laws are never going to be each other's Yarshim. Why are you saying that that case is based on the opinion that brother-in-laws are not a problem? Maybe we're speaking about Rabbi Yosef in the Braisa, where he says brother-in-laws are possible. Says the Gemara Loisakadatach. Dom Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kigar Anoa Perchis. I and Pinchas, said Shmuel, they have an Achim Gise, two brothers marry two sisters. So we're brothers and brother-in-laws. That's why we can't say Eidus together. Av Gise the Alma, if we're just brother-in-laws and not brothers, Shapadami, would we be able to say Edus? The Duma says the Gemara, but maybe what Shmuel wanted to say was not that the disqualification is based on the fact that they're brothers. Maybe Mishum de Gisakam, because they're brother-in-laws. Amale, Zil Kaina Be'edim Asira. Said Rabbi Yossi, he said to this person, go become the owner of the gift through Edi Masira, Krevelozer, because we have the machlokes around Shas of Edi Masira Karti, Edi Chsi Makarti. Krevelozer's opinion is that Edim who saw the transferring of something is a full-fledged Edis. Vamar Krevelozer, Vamar Rav Abba, now that was rejected, because Maidir Krevelozer, that even though you don't technically need to have Edim on a document, Mezuyah Metoichai, that if the Edim sign on a document, it's possible. So now, even though we'll have good Edim in Syria, it won't help. Says the Gemara Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said to this person, Zil, Loi Shafkele, the Sivnalach, they're not letting me help you get ownership of this gift. Rabbi Yehuda said, that if somebody's daughter dies, so it depends if there were children or not. If there were children, the son-in-law remains a relative. Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Tavim, Omer of Brunam Rav, Halacha Rav Yehuda. That is the halacha. Rav Omer of Nachman, and halacha Rav Yehuda. The halacha is not of like Rav Yehuda, and makes no difference if there were grandchildren left or not. The Ken Omer Rav Abachan, Omer of Yochanan, and halacha Rav Yehuda. But now it is a different version. Ikna masal ha de rabba chana ha. Azu dar shab yasa galili. The pasuk says, Ubasa al kahanim velavim velashoifra shia biyam mahim. If there's an issue that you need to adjudicate, you should come to the kahanim levim shoifra shia biyam mahim. And the question in that pasuk is, vichisal al datach. What could this mean? Vichisal al datach adam hailach etzel shoifit. Shein biyam mahim, is it possible to go to somebody who's not alive? It's teaching us that somebody who was your relative is no longer your relative is kosher to be a dying. Amar Rabbi B'chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is that is the halacha Rav Yosi Galili, that somebody, even though they were once relatives, that currently not relatives, the halach is that they're not considered relatives, and the fact that they were previously a relative doesn't make a difference.